Let's go ahead and go in our Bibles to a place that you've all been very recently. It's 3 John, chapter number 1, verse number 4. 3 John, verse number 4. Y'all hopefully know the verse already. It's your memory verse for this week. 3 John, chapter 1, verse number 4. You've all said it. I'm going to go ahead. Let's have us all stand together if we could. Everyone stand up for the reading of the Word of God this evening. Let's all read this verse one more time. It says this, 1 John 1, 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That is so, so true. It is amazingly true, both as a parent of my physical children and as a spiritual leader of my converts. There is nothing greater than to know that the people I'm leading are doing right. Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Dear Father, thank you for all that you've given to us today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for helping us with everything that we're doing. Now, please help us tonight as we study your word. It's going to be a quick service, but help us to be able to do what we're supposed to do and learn what we're supposed to learn out of the Bible today. We love you and thank you. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and all be seated. I want to talk to you today about a subject called carbon copy Christianity. Carbon copy Christianity. Now, today, we have all this technology. We can send emails, we can make phone calls, we can leave voice messages, we can text, we can even do these things, I don't even know what they're called, Viber, is that the one, where you can leave all kinds of technology, crazy stuff that we can do. But back in the day, I remember when cell phones came out. Who remembers that day? The cell phones came out. There was life before cell phones. Now we're trying to tell people there was life before smartphones, but there really was life before cell phones. And we had there was a lot of other things that existed back then too, like carbon copies. Who remembers carbon copies? Triplicate, quadruplicate, quintuplicate forms, you know, all these different things you had to do. You had to get those super, super sharp pens from the store so you could cut through all 5 copies of those colored papers to get all the way through, right? You'll remember those things, okay? And by the way, when you're sending an email, CC means carbon copy. That's where that came from. So back, carbon copy idea. I want to talk to you about carbon copy Christianity. Too often, we try to do carbon copy Christianity, and what we're finding is that it doesn't work. Now, you don't know that whenever you copy something, the end result is not as good as the original. You can take a piece of paper and put the paper on the copy machine, close the door, and copy it. And what comes out of the machine, normally, if the printer settings are really, really good, you can't quite tell the difference between the original and the copy. They're so close. But what happens if you take that same copy, put it, replace it in the copy machine, put the copy button again, and then over and over, about 10 generations of paper down the road, what do you have? Something that doesn't even closely resemble the original that you had. It doesn't work to copy things and expect to get the same result. Y'all might have done this one as well. You have a key that works wonderfully, and then you make a copy for a friend or make a copy for yourself, and you take that copy and make a copy of that key. By the time the third, fourth key gets around, it's not working in your lock because it's a different key. You can't copy and copy and copy and expect something to turn out the same as it was in the beginning. Woodwork is the same way. Whenever you cut a piece of wood, you measure your with your measuring stick, you measure the piece of wood, you cut the piece of wood, you use that piece of wood to draw a new line on the big piece of wood, and then you cut it again. If you take your original and put it in the pile and take your copy and write a new line with that copy and keep doing that, your last piece of wood is going to be greatly different than your first piece of wood, and your project will not work. That is what happens with Christianity. Way, way too often. Carbon copy Christianity. Here's an interesting idea for us. God will never tell us to do something that we cannot do. He will never give us an impossible command. Okay? Whatever God commands you to do, you can do. If He's commanded you to tithe, even if you're on a fixed income, you can tithe. It will work. Now, you may not be able to buy all the stuff that you want to buy, but you will have all of your needs taken care of if you consistently tithe. It will work. Whatever God commands, He will either, you already can do, or He will enable you to do some way. I love the story of Philip, how he was commanded by Jesus to feed the 5,000. You ever saw that in the Bible? Philip was commanded. He comes, brings a problem to Jesus, says, Jesus, it's past dinner time. There's 5,000 plus people that are hungry. And Jesus tells him, okay, give them something to eat. Jesus told Philip to do that. And Philip thinks, you know what? It was Philip and Andrew. They thought, man, we can't do that. And complained to Jesus saying, well, all we've got is a boy with a lunch. And I mean, it's not, we can't do this. And so Jesus does a miracle and feeds 5,000 people. Peter, seeing that happening, the same day, later on in the day, they're crossing the Sea of Galilee and are in the middle of a huge storm, and Jesus comes out walking on the water. And they're so afraid, grown professional fishermen were crying like little babies because they were afraid of dying in the storm. It was a bad storm. And here comes Jesus walking on the water, and Peter sees him. They're not sure if it's Jesus or not, though. They've never seen anything like this before. And Peter says this, Jesus, if it really is you, tell me to come out on top of the water. Because he realized something. He already saw that Jesus commanded Philip and Andrew to do something, and had they obeyed him, they'd have been able to do it. He says, if Jesus tells me to do it, I'm sure that I'll be able to be okay. So Jesus, if you tell me to walk on the water, then I'll be able to do it. And when Jesus said one word, come, Peter steps out of the boat and walks on the water. Why? Because anything God tells you to do, you can do. You can do it. God has commanded us several places in the Bible that we are supposed to take the Christianity that we have and give it to the generation following us. Too often what happens is that people go through the Christian school or they go through Christian homes, and as soon as they're 18 years old, what happens? They are gone, never to be heard from in Christianity again. Why? Because we tried to copy our Christianity onto them. But you can't copy Christianity. It doesn't work. But God has told us to commit to the people coming behind us the same or better Christianity that we have. I'll read you a few verses here for sake of time. It says, Jude 1:3 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So God delivered the faith unto us. He gave us or committed the faith unto us. Jesus says in Matthew 28, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So we've received the faith from God. Jesus told the people that were there, you're supposed to get this faith to other people, teaching them everything that you've learned. 1 Timothy 1:1, According to the glorious gospel, the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, Paul speaking, this is given to me. It's committed to my trust. 1 Timothy 6:20, she says, O Timothy, keep that which committed to thy trust. So the Christianity that Paul received, he committed to Timothy and said, keep that which is committed to thy trust. And then again to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, he said, And the things, or the Christianity, that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So our command, God gives us, this is a very seriously important command. He tells us to take the Christianity that we have and commit it to the next generation of Christians. But a lot of times we fail at that. And the next generations of Christians that should be there carrying the torch aren't. They go away or fall by the wayside or are not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not carrying the Christianity that we wanted them to have. My greatest fear as a parent is that I'll grow up all the way and my kids will grow up and want nothing to do with Christianity. That is my biggest fear. My greatest joy, like our text verse, is to see that they are walking in truth, that they are doing the same thing that I'm doing. That is the biggest deal in my life. The greatest prayer of mine, my wife's life, is that our children and our grandchildren will keep Christianity going in our family. Not just for the sake of being Christians, but for the sake of obeying God and doing right through all of our lives. Christianity is always only one generation away from extinction. Only one. If I don't tell someone about how to get to heaven, and I never lead anyone else to the Lord, my Christian lineage stops with me. Done. Now, it's funny. I have a friend of mine named Kyle Brooks. his birthday's next week. I found out today he has three daughters and only daughters. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a blessing to have girls. But what happens in American culture is that the girl takes on the last name of her husband, right? So Kyle, whenever he gets to be an old man, he's not going to have anyone after him named Brooks. His line or his name is going to stop. And that's what happens in Christianity a lot of times. When we don't tell someone about Jesus, we don't lead someone to the Lord, our Christianity stops with us. And that's not what we should have. We should have our name in Christianity continuing to go and to grow because of the influence I had on this world. I want to be able to, not even just me, but I want history to be able to look back at me, or I guess future to be able to look back at us and say, this guy made a difference in the world. There's still people serving God today because of his life. That's what I want for my life. That's what I would love to see. And that's what we need to see. But what happens is we don't see that because we don't commit Christianity to people. Now, winning someone to the Lord is the first step, but it's not the last step. What happens is that we win someone to the Lord and we never train them. And they never become a soul winner themselves. They never become someone that sticks in church themselves. As a parent, we teach our kids all these rules and all this Christianity, and sometimes they grow up and they leave and they don't have anything to do with our Christianity or anything to do with the rules that God has set down in the Bible, and it breaks our heart. But there's a reason why that happens. And if that has happened to anyone in here, I don't know. I'm not preaching this as trying to be mean to anybody else. I'm preaching this to try to help those of us that have kids or that have followers in our junior churches or our Sunday school classes or whatever it is, so that we can correctly give Christianity to the ones that are following us. So here's what happens. Number one, what we need to do to be able to commit Christianity to those that are behind us, whether, like I said, they're your kids or they're in your class or whatever it is. Number one, to get Christianity to the next generation, I must realize that I cannot give my Christianity to them. It's not transferable. I can the only one that can have my Christianity. I can't make my kids have my Christianity. I can't make my Sunday school class have my Christianity. It doesn't work. I can try to copy it onto them, but it's not the same thing. You'll get less and less and less of a Christianity if that's what you do. The only thing that we can do is help them develop their own Christianity. The wonderful thing about God and the Bible is that the Bible is going to be here forever. I got my Christianity from the Bible. That's where I got it from. I saw a good example in my parents. I saw a good example in my church. But when it came down to it, there's a lot of people that had good parents and a lot of people that had a good church that have nothing to do with Christianity, because they were on their parents' Christianity, or they were on their Sunday school teacher's Christianity, or their church's Christianity. I got mine from the Bible. When I got to Bible college, I started reading the Bible for myself and trying to understand what it said and applying it to my life, and God became real to me, and I got my own Christianity. It's mine. God developed it through me, through the Bible, and it's my Christianity. Now, it's a good reflection of my parents' Christianity. It's a good reflection of my church's Christianity, but I didn't receive just theirs. I had to develop my own. As we're training people, we can't expect them to just do what we do because we do it. That only lasts so long. It may last a while, but then it will stop. If it's never their own, it will stop. So what do? We've got to help them to develop their own Christianity. Through the Bible, God can give to every single Christian an equal version of Christianity that you have, or even a better one. I've heard it said this way: God's waiting for one person to just read the Bible and believe what it says. Actually believe the Bible and put it into practice in their life. He's waiting for one person that will fully read, believe, and practice what the Bible says, and the world has not yet seen what God can do with one man wholly surrendered to him. I think D.L. Moody's the one that said that. But the version of Christianity people will get depends on how much they get into the Bible. So how do I help people to develop their own Christianity the way that God would have them to do? Number one, I need to teach them what the Bible says. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:2, we already read it, and the things which thou hast heard among me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. we got to teach them the doctrine, what we believe. Now, there's a lot of churches out there, and I'm glad people are going to church, but there's a lot of churches out there that don't teach doctrine. All the church is about is going and singing songs and feeling good and having a good time, but there's no doctrine. One church we saw said interdenominational church. That's a long word. What it means is no doctrine. Anyone believing anything can come here and feel comfortable. Now, again, I'm glad people are trying to go to church, but if we want to get Christianity to the next generation, we need to teach doctrine, what we believe. Not just do this, do this, do this. Here, do this because God says to right here. Do this because the Bible says this, and getting people into the Bible, seeing that God says do this. It's not mom and dad saying do this. It's not the Sunday school teacher saying do this. It's not the pastor saying do this. It is God that says do this. And when I realized, man, I'm learning what the Bible says. We've got to teach what the Bible says. Every opportunity that you have, you ought to teach what the Bible says, whether it's in your Sunday school class or whether it's in car rides. Man, how many of y'all drive cars? If you raise your hand, drive a car. Okay, the five-year-olds, don't raise your hand, okay? You drive, that's backseat driver's license. If you drive a car and you have someone to go with you in the car, most of us waste time while driving. Most of it, and I'm guilty of it as well. I got three kids sitting in the back of my car all the time, and we just try to get from here to there and get it done, okay? Because I'm a guy, that's why, you know, let's get the job done, right? But we got 20 minutes inside there. I could take that 20 minutes, and y'all's kids ever asked you this, Daddy, can you tell me a story? And we don't like telling stories because it takes effort, right? It's a lot of effort to tell a story, but your kids are asking you, Daddy, can you please tell a story to me? And as we're driving in our car, I should take opportunity and say, man, guys, here's a story from the Bible. There's a guy named Samson one time, the strongest man on earth, could do anything with his arms. He tore down entire buildings with just his hands. Strong, strong guy. And teach them about Samson. Teach them what we believe. There's a lot of opportunities that we have to teach that we just don't take advantage of. Guys, I'm a guy, I like my peace and quiet. I'll just leave me alone and let me be in my own little zone here, my own little world, and let me enjoy my peace and quiet. But I've got three kids. It doesn't work very well, okay? So I need to get out of my world and get into theirs and teach them what the Bible says. I've got 18 years with my kids, if Lord willing, and I've got that time to put into them what the Bible says, what do we believe, all the doctrine, what we believe, okay? Not only do I need to be teaching people what we believe, I need to be teaching them by example how to do what we're supposed to do. Not only we believe this, but after I say this is what we believe, down the road, they see me doing it. Okay, for example, how many of y'all that drive, we already have a lot of people that drive, how many of y'all have ever gotten a ticket for, honesty comes out, right? We try to keep that on the low number of tickets, but we get tickets. Now, we're teaching our kids, whenever one of them lied to us, man, they get in trouble when they lied to us, right guys, right parents? But then we get pulled over and the officer's talking to us, sir, did you know how fast you were going? Brother Vaughn, I don't know. And what do we say? Are we telling the truth? Some of you kids are shaking, nope. You've seen it, right? Are we telling the truth? Are we being honest? We expect our kids to be honest with us because we teach them this is what to do. But when we get over here to the second of training them, this is how to do it, even a bad situation, we always tell our kids, tell the truth regardless of the consequences. Truth always. Forget the consequences, tell the truth. But when it's our turn to do that and our turn to tell the truth, man, it's a whole lot more difficult to tell the truth when the police officer's looking at me, right? It's different. But that's what we need to do. How do you expect to be able to train your kids? How do you, or your Sunday school class, or whatever your, I'm going to say kids a lot, but I mean anyone that's under your influence, okay? How do you expect to train people under your influence if they don't get to see you do the same job yourself? I like carpentry. I love carpentry. I got several hours, many hours, of watching my dad do carpentry. I watched him build stuff, sand stuff, cut stuff, redo stuff, all different things, a lot of time. And I got to watch him to learn how to do it. I learned because I watched. Now, if we don't ever show them how to do what we're telling them to do, they won't ever be able to do it. If you're always telling a kid, do this, do this, do this, and never let him see you do it, never let him practice doing it, how do you expect him to be able to do it? That's how Christianity is supposed to go for us as well. When we tell them what we believe, we want to show them also how to do what we believe. It's not just Christianity just like in a bottle. It's not just you do this and you don't have to worry about the consequences. You need to teach. You need to train by personal example. Do what you say. Don't just, you know, just do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't work for Christians. It won't get it to the next generation. It will not work. We need to be consistent. This is what we believe. This is what we do. And even when I'm in the situation, we will still do this. We need to do that. There's a lot of things. We need to teach. We need to train. We need to be consistent all the time, not just when we feel like it, not just when we're having a spiritual moment, but all the time. And one of the last things here, I'll skip a few points for sake of time, but one of the last things here is we need to learn to eat humble pie. Who knows what humble pie is? Humble pie is when I did it wrong or I did something wrong, I go to someone and I say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. You can ask my kids. When I do something wrong, I go to them and I tell them, says, Daddy was wrong. I did it the wrong way. I did wrong. I'm sorry. That is hard to do. That is extremely hard to do. You know why? Because our pride doesn't want us to let us do it. But if we are always telling them, you need to confess your faults to God, you know, confess, forsake your stuff, and God will forgive you. You need to do this, and they never see us doing it. We get this facade of being perfect among everybody else, and everyone thinks that we're this great person, but the people that know us best see that we're not perfect. And they see the double life that's involved in our lives, and they would rather be a complete heathen than to be a hypocrite in a church. That's why we're losing people, because they see our version of Christianity and they see that it's not working. They're trying to get a copy of it, but it's not working. But if we would do these things, teach them what we believe, train them how to do it, be consistent, don't be judgmental towards them, and when I do it wrong, make sure that I make a big deal of it to them, that I realize I did it wrong so that they can do it right. We need to do that. Carbon copy Christianity does not work. I can't give Christianity to those following me. I can't do it. It is impossible. The best they'll have is a washed out version of Christianity that won't last. But if I can get them into the Bible and close to God, He can give them a real version of Christianity, something that will last their whole life long. But I've got to do it the right way. Let's make a covenant with ourselves tonight and with our God tonight that God, by your grace, for those that are coming behind me, whether they be kids, whether they be Sunday school kids, whether it be some whatever other person that may even just look up to me in church, help me to give that Christianity that you have for the people that are looking to me for an example. Let's all make that our goal tonight so that when we're off the scene, that our Christianity is still going. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for all that you've given to us. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for giving us this thing of Christianity, that we can read your word and have the promises that you've given to us. Help us all to be able to make decisions in our lives to be better Christians ourselves, and also so that we can give Christianity to those that are following behind us. Help me to be a good example. Help me to be a good teacher. And help me to do it right, so not only my kids, but those under my influence, they can also have what you have for them.